We are now recording.
Thank you, Kurt. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Board of Technical Registration. Kurt, can you do a roll call, please?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Here.
Jack Gilmore?
Here.
Neil Jones?
Here.
Clarence McAllister?
Here.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Here.
Stephen Knoll?
Here.
Andrew Everode?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Kurt, do we have any public people who want to speak under three?
We do not.
Excellent. Okay. Then I would suggest that we hit some high-level items before our 9:30 start of the executive director. So perhaps adoption of minutes. If someone can move for 4A and 4B. And those are the general board meeting minutes.
If we can do those separately, only because I'm going to have to abstain from one of them.
Okay. Thanks. Can I have a motion for 4A, please?
So moved, Carmen.
Thank you.
Move that we approve the minutes.
Thanks, Dr. Angel. Second?
Second.
Second. No, sir.
I got Eric Jones first there.
Any discussion? Let's do a roll call.
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Clarence McAllister?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Andrew Everode?
Abstain.
Okay, motion carried with one abstention.
Thank you. Can I have a motion to approve 4A2?
I move that we approve the minutes for February 23rd. This is Clarence McAllister.
Thank you. Second, anyone?
Second.
Right. Hearing no discussion, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Clarence McAllister?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Andrew Everode?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Can I have a member of the executive director search move that we approve all three of those minutes?
I move that we
approve.
Move.
Oh. Go ahead, Steve.
I move we approve the minutes of the executive search committee.
And can I clarify that that would be under B, C, and D? Because I think we can take care of all of this.
And just so you, to clarify, under B is the executive session minutes for the normal board meeting, and under C and D is the EDHC.
Oh, okay. I thought C had. Okay. Thank you.
So are we voting?
I'll move accordingly, yes.
You could probably motion on all of them, I assume.
Thank you. Do I hear
a second? Can you repeat the second?
That was my second.
Thank you.
Yeah, Andy Everode's second.
Can we do a roll call of the executive director committee members?
Okay. Dr. Alejandro Angel?
I'm not a member.
Okay. So this is for C and D. Is that what I'm doing this for?
Yeah.
Okay. My apologies.
I apologize. I got out of turn there.
Okay, so let's just do Andy Everode.
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff.
Aye.
Stephen Knoll.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Yes.
Thank you. So let's go back to B. My apologies. I thought we were already to the executive director. Can I have a motion to approve the three executive sessions from February 23rd, please?
I move we approve those minutes, Carmen. This is Alejandro.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. Hearing no discussion, can we call for a roll call vote?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Clarence McAllister?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Andrew Everode?
Aye.
Motion carried.
I would suggest we go on to part five because we don't have any call-ins, and our AG has asked that, especially the continue hearing, be considered today.
Madam Chair, unfortunately, we wouldn't be able to do five until later on, as the initial complaints and notices of hearing were set for 9:30, so we would not be able to begin those. So we're going to try to push those out to the 12:30 range. We have the independent advisor lined up for 12:30.
Excellent. So we will skip over those. Six has a great deal of call-ins, so I would suggest perhaps we go to seven licensing matters if nobody's
Carmen, this is Neil Jones. I would like.
Do we have another issue there?
This is Neil Jones. Sorry. I would like to consent cases 6B3, 6B4, and 6B6. We have signed consent agendas.
I'll second that, Chair.
Okay. Excellent. Any discussion about 6B3, 4, and 6? Okay. Hearing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Clarence McAllister?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll? Stephen Knoll?
Sorry, aye.
Andrew Everoad?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Neil.
Madam Chairwoman, I'd like to move items 7A through 7G, if you're amenable to that, to grant registration as recommended by staff.
Okay, A through G as in good?
A through G as carried.
Okay,
so those are all the ones to grant licensure. There's others about extensions and things like that, but these are all the licensure ones.
A, I believe, G. A has a call-in request.
Oh, then all but that one.
Excellent. A through I? Yep.
Well, hold on, but I guess
which one has the call?
I believe Gary Tanner is on our call-in list.
Right, and I'm, I guess we can move in all of them to do what staff is recommend. Well, A through I, we have a recommendation from staff. Sorry, A through H, I we need to decide. It's, there's no recommendation. So,
okay, so to clarify, I heard a motion from you for 7A through H.
Correct. To grant registration, and in the case of 7A, to grant the 6-month extension as recommended by staff.
We have a second on that one?
I'll second that, Chair.
Thank you. Any discussion on 7A through H? Okay. Hearing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Clarence McAllister?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Andrew Everoad?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Madam Chairwoman, if it's okay, then I'd like to move 7I now. And I'd like to move for granting registration. This was a case where she had the experience, but she only had one PE as a reference. So we asked for resumes on the other two references. She provided them. They looked to be extremely well qualified. So I'd like to move that we grant registration.
Thank you, Dr. Angel. I appreciate that background. Does anybody have a second on that?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion on 7I? Hearing none, can we call for a vote?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Clarence McAllister?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Andrew Everoad?
Aye.
Motion carried.
So I wonder if we do have a little bit of time. If we can get Gary Tanner on the line, we'd be done with 7. Is that... And then perhaps we can prep for our executive director items. Unless you think this is going to be a longer than 17-minute discussion.
Are you texting him first?
Yes. All right, I have texted Mr. Tanner based on his wishes to be text first.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
If I may, additionally, after this, the board may want to look at 15, because if the interviews are set to begin around 9:30, the board will have to go to an executive session to determine the final interview questions first, come out of that, and then go into open session in order to move to go into the interviews, and we'll also have to set up the procedure for the interviews.
Thank you, Scott. I didn't realize we had so much business. Given that, Kurt, do you mind perhaps texting the gentleman back and telling him to apologize? We'll get to the licensee case for the home inspector case after our executive director. We appreciate everybody's flexibility in the public. I know this is an odd day as we jump around.
Okay, I have texted our apologies and then we're going to be moving on.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I know 15 is a doozy of an item, so thank you, everybody. So first, we would need a motion to enter executive. Do we need, I apologize, Scott, do we have to enter executive discussion, or if there's no discussion on our questions and format, could we simply vote here?
Oh, certainly. If there's no question, if the board, if someone would like to simply make a motion to use the questions as determined by the EDHC, that certainly could be made.
So members of the board members, I'd be willing to entertain a motion if you want to just proceed, or if you have questions about what the executive director search committee suggested, I'm more than happy to take those either in public or in executive session.
This is Alejandro. I think the questions are great. I have no additions or changes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other thoughts or discussions, or do we have a second? I'm sorry, we would need a second for.
Go to 15
on the board. Yep. Were those the questions that answers that were sent to us in the last day or two?
Yes, those were the ones included in page 1614 of your board packet.
Great, thanks.
You're welcome. They were brainstormed by the committee. Thank you. We have a motion and a second on our questions and procedure. Is it both the questions and the procedure for conducting the final interviews?
the board can determine.
Do we need to fill a fine?
Page 1614 has assignment.
Oh, it does. Okay. I'm trying to.
Yep.
Gotcha. So, is that your motion then, Alejandro?
Yes, that's a motion to approve the question.
Okay, that's, and a procedure?
And procedure, yeah.
Yeah, that's my second then. Thank you.
Oh, I think we had a second from McAllister.
Excellent. Any discussion about this? Hearing none, we have a motion from Dr. Angel and a second from McAllister for the procedure and the final interview questions. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Clarence McAllister?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Andrew Everode?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay.
Carmen, we also had an item 9E with some questions from the City of Flagstaff. I don't know if Gary Miller is on the line, but if he is, I don't think that'll take very long.
Okay. Is Gary Miller, if you're on the line, can you unmute yourself and let us know?
I don't see him listed. Let me see if there's.
Okay.
The other piece of business I know we have in 15 is a vote to ratify an interim executive director agreement with Melissa. A little background on this. Of course, Melissa was out for leave, and when she returned, we realized we had more transitions in the executive director branch than we expected. And so she contacted ADOA to see how she might be able to help hourly. They advised that at least in the time being, as chair, I could enter into that executive director agreement with Melissa. And now we would be looking for the board to ratify that. That would be Melissa hourly work while we transition through the next month or so as needed. Is that about accurate?
Correct.
Carmen, are there any of the terms of that agreement public, or is it under the same hourly rate or different, or duration-wise, number of hours, anything, or is it fairly open?
So Melissa's capped at 19 hours, I think due to ADOA and what counts as full employment. Melissa, can you answer any of other of Dr. Angel's questions?
Sure. I thought I had provided a copy of the agreement. Apparently not. I can certainly provide that.
Melissa, also, I don't mean to interrupt, but if you'd like to do that in executive session, we do have it agendized for an executive session for personnel matters, so that's entirely up to you. You may choose to waive that, but if you would like to do it in executive session, you certainly may.
Okay, thank you, Scott. I think I would prefer to do it in executive session.
That makes sense. Just watching the clock, does the board wish to enter an executive session for this, or do you all wish to stall for 8 more minutes?
If we go into executive session, we have to come back out and go back in again?
Yep. Yes, we do. We're going to have a lot of bouncing around today.
I would recommend we stall.
Okay.
Carmen, I was going to suggest that maybe we do all the executive director stuff together at the end, because how the interviews go might inform what we do about the interim position as well.
Very valid. We could Do you need a vote, Melissa, on item 8, the licensing consent agenda?
Yes.
That sounds like an easy one.
Yeah, for the cancellations we do.
So if everybody can review the list under 8, make sure you don't have any concerns, and then I'd entertain a motion to approve those.
Chair, I'll make a recommendation that we accept the staff recommendation for these cancellations.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second that. Steve.
Thank you very much. Any discussion? Okay. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Aye.
Jack Gilmore.
Aye.
Neil Jones.
Aye.
Clarence McAllister.
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff.
Aye.
Stephen Knoll.
Aye.
Andrew Everode.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Carmen, maybe the one other item under 6E1. We have an Enforcement Advisory Committee candidate, Mr. Skoog, Ron Skoog. I don't know if he's on the line, we could take up this item. Should be quick.
Absolutely. Mr. Skoog, if you're on the line, please unmute yourself or go in the chat and let us know.
And if he's not there, this is Andy. I'll move to approve his candidacy to the EAC. I know Ron both as an architect and personally, and highly recommend him.
I would second that.
Thank you. Any discussion about Mr. Skoog's application? If not, I'll just say I so appreciate all of our EAC members and what they do to volunteer. So with that, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Aye.
Jack Gilmore.
Aye.
Neil Jones.
Aye.
Clarence McAllister.
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff.
Aye.
Stephen Knoll.
Aye.
Andrew Everode.
Aye.
Motion carried.
The only other one without a call-in would be 6D1, it looks like. Don't know if that is a straightforward one in the board's eyes.
Was that Carmen, D's and
I don't know. I can say I don't have my mind made up, so I'd like to hear from others on that.
Okay. Then I think we will pause on that one. And Scott, are we close enough that we can tee up our interviews? And
Well, as it's agendized for 9:30, the board would need to wait until 9:30 to begin the interview, but the board could certainly begin the process of moving into executive session at this point.
Excellent. I appreciate that. So on behalf of the hiring committee, I don't know if everybody realized we did get 103 candidate applications that came through.
Wow.
So thank you everybody who got it out on LinkedIn and email blasted. We screened 8 very qualified candidates, including our own Kurt Winter, which we appreciated his time and getting to know him better. And out of those 8, we came to our final 3 candidates. So that is who you'll meet today. And I think I can speak on behalf of the committee that we're very excited by all 3, and we think they would do a great job. So this will be a really interesting interview and discussion today. With that little preface, can Do I have to stall for 3 minutes, Scott, or can we can we vote to enter executive session at 9:30?
Well, that moved a little bit quicker than I thought it would, but
would the other committee members have anything they want to add to my prelude?
No, I'd have to say that the other candidates were very good. It was impressive, the ones that we interviewed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Steve. Melissa, Rob, or Doug, do you have any feedback from our first round?
I echo what Carmen said. I think there are, the final three are really good candidates, and I'm curious to see what the board members think after the interviews.
Thank you. I do want to point out, sorry, Doug?
I definitely agree with that.
So when we do enter executive session, we have gotten advice that our three committee members, Melissa, Rob, and Doug, if the board wants, can join us and continue on as advising members to the selection committee. So I don't know if we need to mention that in our motion.
Yes, I would mention the members, the non-board members who are going to be invited to take part in the executive session.
Thank you.
And additionally, Kurt, is there a member of ADOA standing by or who will be attending the executive sessions?
So Mr. Sean McConnell, he's received the invites for the three interviews. He may already be in there. I'm not really certain.
Okay. I would mention him as well then for going to the executive session.
Okay, let's see here.
Excellent. So I'm looking for a movement now that we enter into executive session to interview Gary Nelson to discuss confidential information and to receive legal advice, and that we invite members of the hiring, non-voting members of the hiring committee and the ADOA representative along with us.
This is Andy, so moved.
Thank you, Andy.
Okay.
Well, I brought my laptop, but it's not.
It's not working either.
We have a second?
Server connection.
McAllister, second.
Thank you, Clarence.
I'll just ask a question.
Yeah, or...
Yeah, we can go right into the mic.
Yeah, that's true. They just won't see you. I mean, unless you want to crowd into my
office. Well, one of you could go with Melissa, and then one of you can be by me.
Oh, they're going to need to have a vote.
I know.
Yeah. Can I have a roll call vote on this executive session?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Clarence McAllister?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Andrew Everode?
Aye.
Motion carried. So please jump out of this meeting, close it all the way down so nobody can hear you, and then enter the first interview executive session.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you. We are now recording.
Thank you, Kurt. Can we do a roll call to make sure we have a quorum?
Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Dr. Angel, unfortunately, you will have to unmute and answer verbally because this is being recorded as well.
I thought I did. Maybe it wasn't loud enough. I'm here.
Jack Gilmore.
Here.
Neil Jones.
Here.
Clarence McAllister. Carmen Wyckoff.
Here.
Stephen Knoll.
Here.
Andrew Everode.
Here.
Okay, we're still in the quorum.
That is great news. Can I hear a motion from anyone to enter executive committee to interview Judith Stapley, obtain legal advice, and go over matters.
So moved. I'll second that.
Thank you. Any discussions? Hearing none, can we have a vote, please?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Yes, aye.
Neil Jones?
Here.
Clarence McAllister?
I thought we were voting.
We are voting. Carmen White.
We are voting to enter executive session. Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Andrew Everode?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Excellent. I will see you all in Judith Stapley's executive session.
We are now recording.
Thanks, Kurt. I believe we need an official roll call now that we're back in open session.
Okay. Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Aye.
Jack Gilmore. He just walked out of the room, literally. So,
he's here.
Neil Jones.
Here.
Clarence McAllister.
Here.
Carmen Wyckoff.
Here.
Stephen Knoll.
Here.
Andrew Everode.
Here.
Okay, we still have a quorum.
Excellent. Kurt, do you know from Rob if our next candidate happens to be in executive
yet? I don't know that, but because Rob's not in the room with me, he's in his office.
That's right.
I can text him.
Don't believe we have enough time to do other business. That's why I'm trying to see if the candidate's ready for us.
Let me text Rob.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody, listening in for your patience. This is an odd day.
That's another hour. Every hour on the hour. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I DM'd him as well through the computer. Rob says that he is not in the interview room yet. The candidate is not in the interview room yet. Who is that? Steve. Sorry, Steve, I had to mute you. I let Rob know to let us know when the candidate enters the room. Scott, can they enter the room early as well before the candidate? Would that even be an issue?
Yes. I mean, the board could vote to go into the executive session and
stay in there until the interviewee comes into the session.
Okay.
Excellent. So for the expediency of our day today, I hear a motion to enter executive session to interview Thomas Below, discuss confidential information, and receive legal advice, including our non-voting members, please. I'll move that. That's easy. Yeah. Can I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Andy. Any discussion? Hearing none, let's do a roll call, please.
Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Aye.
Jack Gilmore. He might have ran into the other room. Neil Jones. Here. Clarence McAllister.
Here. Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff.
Aye.
Stephen Knoll.
Aye.
Andrew Everoad.
Aye.
Motion carried with one absence.
And we'll see you all in the Thomas Below Executive Session.
We are now recording.
Thank you, Kurt. Can you do a quick roll call to make sure everybody's back?
Yes. Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Here.
Jack Gilmore?
Here.
Neil Jones?
Here.
Clarence McAllister?
Here.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Here.
Stephen Knoll? Stephen Knoll?
I'm coming. Here I am.
Andrew Everoad?
Here.
We are still in a quorum.
Excellent. So, if we're curious, whether we want to go back into a different session to discuss the candidate, or Dr. Angel mentioned the gentleman from Flagstaff Holding, if we want to take that item, for a motion from the board either way.
Is he on the call first? No,
let me see here. There's a lot of breaking up going on. I'm not sure why. I don't see his name and I don't see his phone number. I can always give him a call.
Now, if he's not waiting, I personally suggest we keep going forward with the executive director discussion.
I agree.
If a board member wants to make a motion that we enter into executive session to discuss the position and selection of final candidate, obtain legal advice, and other confidential items.
Yeah, I would like to do that, Carmen. I'd like to move into executive succession. Executive session to continue this discussion.
I'll second that, Carmen. It's Jack.
Oh, I think we could.
Thank
see
you.
I think we could.
Any discussion? Okay. We will be have roll call vote for executive session.
Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Here, aye.
Jack Gilmore.
Aye.
Neil Jones.
Aye.
Clarence McAllister.
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff. Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Andrew Everoad?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Members of the public, we will be back once we've discussed this position.
All right, we are now recording.
Thank you. Can you do a quick roll call to make sure we're all here?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Here.
Jack Gilmore?
Here.
Neil Jones?
Here.
Clarence McAllister?
Here.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Here.
Stephen Knoll?
Here.
Andrew Everoad?
Here.
Still in a quorum.
Excellent. Thank you. We discussed item D, the proof of employment, and the E, offering of executive director positions to candidates during executive session. So can I hear a motion on our two finalists and a direction to staff to offer the salary range views? Okay, I'll take the liberty of making a motion. that our top candidate is Judith, and our second candidate is Gary, and that we enter into negotiations through ADOA with Judith, and should those not prove to be successful, we go to our second candidate, Gary, with the offering of terms that we discussed in executive session.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion, board members? Hearing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Clarence McAllister?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Andrew Everode?
Aye.
Motion carried.
I want to thank all of our candidates for interviewing. That was fascinating 2 hours we have. I've been advised that we'd like to move up to item 5. Cases referred for formal hearing since our independent counsel is here. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent, thank you. So we'll start with 5A. The review, consideration, and possible action on a signed consent agreement in lieu of formal hearing. We're on 5A. Since there's a consent agreement, can we move straight to a motion? Is anybody comfortable with that?
Yeah, Carver, this is Jack Gilmore. I would make a motion that we accept the signed consent agreement.
Would you also include as part of that vacating the hearing if there is one set?
Please, Carmen, modify my motion to vacate the hearing.
Okay. Thank you very much. So we have a motion for a signed consent agreement and to vacate the hearing. Do I have a second?
Second, McAllister.
Thank you so much. Any discussion?
I think that was my case.
Okay. Well, thank you for staying on for hours, Jeannie, for that. Yeah. Anything you would like to tell us?
No, not at all. We are dealing with Morris, correct?
We are at this point, yes. Alan Morris.
Yeah, so I'm great with everything, and I'm going to sign off.
I appreciate your help on the consent agreement.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank you, Deedee.
Have a good one, Deedee.
All right, bye-bye, y'all.
Hearing no discussion, I'm sorry. Can we enter into, can we start a roll call, please?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Clarence McAllister?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Andrew Everode?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. So 5B, I understand, is simply an action that we need to take to continue on discussions and legal proceedings. Is that accurate?
Madam Chair, Scott Donald for the state. Opposing counsel and I have entered into this joint stipulation to continue the hearing from today to next month's board meeting because we did not feel there would be time today. So the board would just, if the board would like to continue the hearing to next month, they would just need to grant the joint stipulation.
Excellent. Thank you for explaining.
Certainly.
Do I hear a motion to continue hearing to the next board meeting?
Yeah, Carmen.
Yes, Madam Chair, I move that we continue the hearing.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any discussion on this? Hearing none, can we have a vote, please?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Clarence McAllister?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Andrew Everode?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Madam Chair?
I think
the City of Flagstaff, I see they're on the line. I think it's a fairly quick item if you want to deal with it. I know I mentioned that before.
Sure. We have a suggestion to jump to 9D.
9 what?
I'd be open to that.
9D.
I don't believe this is a motion. It's more a discussion. So perhaps, Melissa, I can turn it over to you.
Melissa has left the room.
Perfect timing.
I can introduce it if you want, Carmen.
Yes, please.
I think, and is Gary Miller on the line? Gary?
I am here.
Thank you for joining us. So Gary asked a couple of questions about, you know, what registrants would be appropriate to submit certain types of projects, or what kind of qualifications were required for certain type of projects. And he asked that question of Melissa. So I asked Melissa that maybe we could bring that up to the board to discuss, to see if we had any additional guidance, or if, you know, if we don't, then we don't. But so I just wanted to give you know, the city an opportunity to bring up your question, and, or if you want any clarifications, and take it from there. Gary, do you want to?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind adding a few things because we've made a little bit of progress on this since I sent this email. But first of all, some introductions. My name is Gary Miller. I'm the development engineer for the City of Flagstaff. One of my primary responsibilities is to manage our City of Flagstaff engineering standards. The codes that came into question through this discussion topic was the Stormwater Design Manual, which I don't directly manage, but got involved based on just course of events. And essentially comes down to who is qualified to do grading and drainage plans. And the projects in question are specifically commercial projects, not residential projects. I don't know if that has any bearing on the discussion or decision. And I appreciated Melissa's responses. I did take some time and look at some of the additional definitions that she was referring to. I also reviewed the minutes or the video, or I'm sorry, the audio from the meeting that was, I think it was over a year ago, where this similar topic was discussed. That specifically was in relationship to residential. And there's a couple of other things I could clarify, but I want to try and keep it as brief as I can. So I am happy to add more details, and where I've landed mostly based on Melissa's previous responses and direction. But I'll leave it up to you. If you want to give me more time to explain that, I'm happy to, but in an effort to try and keep it brief, I'll leave it there.
Gary,
yeah,
I think, if you want to explain where you are, or if you want to ask any questions of the board, because we saw the package that Melissa sent you. I did provide one additional piece of input to Melissa that I think if it is a public works project, yours are private, but if they're public, the statute says that the documents need to be prepared by the supervision of a registrant within the category involved. So referring to the definitions, I think is useful. If a category discusses grading and drainage, that's probably the right category as opposed to
So the point of clarification I'll make is that the engineering standards that I specifically manage is specific to public improvements, so stuff in the right way. And we felt pretty firm on you know, that has to be done by a registered engineer. The question comes into these private improvements that you just identified, which is on-site grading and drainage. And basically the decision that I came to in going through this analysis, and I'll clarify that the Stormwater Design Manual, while it has specifications for both public improvements and private improvements, I would say it's primarily private improvements, but it does cross that realm a little bit. And the authority to regulate private grading and drainage by the Stormwater Design Manual was given to the stormwater section through the building official. So the City of Flagstaff has also adopted International Building Code, which does have specifications for grading in Appendix J, if you're familiar with that. And so basically the conclusion I came to was that, the International Building Code allows for an architect to do grading and drainage design. But there are certain things that the building code doesn't specify or regulate, one of which is detention or retention or LID facilities, low impact development. Another area that I have struggled to find specifications for within the building code is structural pavement design for on-site or a private property. And that's important for emergency service reasons. I mean, it needs to be able to hold up to a fire engine and those kinds of things. I don't need to get into that detail. But so it was those. I feel like allowing a registered architect to do grading and drainage design that is regulated by the International Building Code is appropriate. But when you start to get into detention, LID, or drainage infrastructure, catch basins or channels, those kinds of things, that's more of an engineering, realm. It's not regulated by the International Building Code. Now, I don't want to make too many assumptions I'm almost done. I don't want to make too many assumptions. The City of Flagstaff, while we have several civil engineers on staff, we only have one registered architect, but she is a planner, and so she doesn't really regulate in an architectural realm. And so that's really where I'm looking for the guidance on is I don't want to make any assumptions of what an architect can do. I don't have that experience, and I don't want to unfairly regulate in that way. So. That's more the detail, and that's where I've landed. So, if there are any other questions for me, I'd be happy to answer.
Go ahead. I don't know, Alejandro's going to talk first. No, you go.
Madam Chair, if I may, I just would like to point out that the board is going to need to be a little cautious because in answering these, the board can't really answer hypotheticals. Particularly, the board can interpret the board statutes, but typically interprets them in light of an enforcement matter that comes before the board in determining whether or not something constitutes a violation. Mm-hmm. As board composition changes, the board will be interpreting its statutes based on the board composition any given day. So the board would be able, on a certain level, to discuss these questions, but the board can't really engage in hypothetical what would constitute potentially a violation of board statutes, because that will only really be able to be determined by the board in place at the time something comes up as a potential violation.
I appreciate that, and since we don't have the word qualified in our statute, perhaps we could discuss the registrant part of it and maybe give Gary a little bit of our personal background on what we've seen happen, and then does that keep us out of legal advice but giving a little bit of technical feedback?
The board can certainly discuss prior cases and what has come up before the board before and how the board has handled it historically. The board would just want to be careful because, and ultimately, Gary, the issue would be that you would never be able to place any kind of reliance on anything the board tells you, because a future board would not be bound by anything that the board today says. So you would never be able to legally rely upon their determination of what would constitute necessary and incidental work, for example. So I just want to caution you on that. The board would not be bound by whatever they say today.
Okay.
Thank you. I understand that. I understand that what they're providing is just their professional expertise or guidance, not a legal opinion.
Excellent. So with all that fine print, are there board members who'd like to discuss a little bit? I heard a little bit in the background about kind of, you know, I know when I took my exam as an architect, right, we had a grading session on it. At the same time, I rely heavily on civil engineers because I don't practice it every day. So I don't, that's my personal experience.
Yeah. Carmen, this is Jack Gilmore. I'd like to address a couple of...
Tell them that you're a landscape architect.
I'm a landscape architect, by the way, Gary. It's been my experience. I've been doing this for 40 years. And in all the municipalities we work with, there are some pretty strict controls established by these staffs as to who can do what kind of work. And normally when you get into retention and you're sizing utilities, whether it's drainage or water sewer, that's always done by PE, without question. As a landscape architect, we are allowed to do grading and drainage. We can stamp our grading and drainage plans, but I don't do the kind of grading that civils do in the way of certifying retention or any of the utilities. The kind of grading I'm talking about is sometimes decorative, where we take a retention base and we reshape it, and we try and convince civils there are other forms besides the trapezoid that work very well.
Yes.
I do a lot of golf course work, and we work in floodplains and floodways. So I do all the mass grading for golf courses in floodways down here in Scottsdale. But we work with civil engineers to take our grading and drainage plans, and then they run it through their HEC 2s and certify it. So there's always the relationship, and we rely heavily on civil support to give certification to our designs. So I think that's kind of been my approach in my career doing grading and drainage.
Gary, this is Neil Jones. I'm an architect, and I'm sitting right across from Jack now, and I've been doing this for 40 years also. I totally agree with everything he just said. You know, when I'm doing a job, I always have my civil and landscape collaborate on the grading and drainage design, have my landscape architect design it, and then the civil does the final grading based on that design and stamps it. So Jack and I are saying the same thing here.
Does that help?
Yeah, I think it reaffirms where I'm landing more or less, yeah.
And you know, sometimes
the only thing I would add.
Go ahead, Doug.
Thank you, Jack. I was just going to say that two things to keep in mind. One is, you know, what our regular practice is doesn't necessarily mean that that's the minimum standard. There might be other practices that are appropriate, but also that most cities implement their own standards that are often more strict than what the state has. I mean, we really just regulate the minimum level of competency. So that doesn't mean that that's the right level. That's the level that we need to protect the public. You can adopt something different.
Yeah, and I've received guidance from my legal department on that very issue, so I'm familiar with that.
So, sorry, Gary, that we can't give you the definite answer you were looking for, but I appreciate you calling in.
No, I appreciate getting to hear from landscape architects and architects and better understanding, you know, the realm of work that you work in. And I didn't hear any major concern with the approach that I'm considering taking with this. And I think that's good affirmation for me to be able to move forward with the direction I'm headed. If you guys can't answer this, I completely understand, but I tried to do some research on other county or local jurisdictions in terms of what they require. More specifically, I think it's Prescott or Prescott Valley for residential grading plans for all residential building permits require a seal by a professional engineer. But outside of that, I wasn't familiar with any other agency that had requirements less restrictive than what I'm talking about. And so I just wanted to ask the question, is anyone aware of requirements less restrictive than what I proposed?
I haven't personally run across that anecdote. Like, I think you're in line with everything I've seen near those. Okay.
Well, again, thank you everyone for taking the time and letting me go through more of those details. I appreciate you guys taking the time to have the discussion.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, for the board, I believe we have one more item in under 15. Another exciting executive session. I really would love to clear up all of 15 today, since that's a pretty pressing issue before the board. If others agree, can I have a motion to enter executive session for review pursuant to personnel matters, which is jumping around on my screen,
sorry,
to ratify the interim executive director agreement?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Second. Okay, thank you. Hearing no discussion, can I get a roll call vote to go into executive session, please?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Clarence McAllister?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
AB.
We've already done it.
F.
Stephen Knoll?
I don't have 15 now.
Oh, F. Did we lose Steve?
We may have lost. Did you already jump in to the session?
I have no idea. I haven't entered the session yet to see. But I just need one more vote for it to be okay, and just I can make him absent. So I just need Andrew Everode.
Let me think about it. All right. Aye.
Motion carried with one absence.
Thank you. I'll see you all in the general executive session.
Okay. We are now recording.
Thank you. Back in open session, Kurt, can we have an official roll call, please?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Here.
Jack Gilmore?
Here.
Neil Jones?
Here.
Clarence McAllister has dropped out as of 1:30. Carmen Wyckoff?
Here.
Stephen Knoll?
Here.
Andrew Everode?
Here.
We still have a quorum.
So, can I get a motion from the board to ratify the interim executive director agreement with Melissa?
So moved, yeah. Carmen.
Second.
Thank you. I think there was one or two of us that wanted to do a little bit of discussion on this motion to thank Melissa. I think we would be lost without her in this transition. I really appreciate her
agreed.
Time.
Thank you.
Yay.
Any other board members want to discuss that?
I'm glad she's staying on. We need her.
Thank you.
Yes, we do.
Is she still bringing muffins?
Yeah, we got a whole plate full. You're missing it, Stephen.
All right. I'll be there next time.
It's a mound. Not kidding.
At least six different big goods.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Andrew Everode?
Aye.
Motion carried?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa.
So are we moving on to cases, Carmen?
Yes, board members. So, we have about 45 minutes.
So I would, in the interest of and great respect for my fellow board member, Alejandro, can we tackle the civil engineering ones? Maybe
you know, like 6D1, 6C3, you know, things like that. Are you okay with that, Alejandro?
I'm fine with it. Neil, yeah, your call.
Okay, 6C1 is a non-registrant. Your board package is at
658.
6C3. I'm sorry, did you?
6C3.
You want to start with 6C3. Excellent.
He's picky.
Well, it's civil.
The 6C3 is a civil engineer. And do we have a call in for that?
We do. I need to give her a call. Okay, giving her a call.
And the case assessor, I believe, wants to be called as well.
That's a big one.
I'm here. I'm Bob Martin.
Thank you. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, but he's just the initial assessor.
Oh. All right. It doesn't tell me if it's going to a message or anything, so I'm not really sure if it was just didn't go through or whatnot.
Well, we have a lot of call-ins. Actually, 6D1 is also civil, and I don't believe we have a call. How about we take a look at that one?
Which one?
D1
is in dog?
Yeah.
Yes. And, Mr. Jones suggested we tackle civil. A moment. So this is page 1005 in our board package. In this case,
the board staff, and
nobody has called in. So in this case, the staff is lifting the stay of suspension and suspending the registrant for failure to comply with educational requirements as detailed in a previous board order. So if staff would like to fill in any additional information on 6D1.
Sure. Hi, this is Investigator Correll. Mr. Nozomo has not complied with the educational requirements that were listed in board order P20036. Nor has he complied with the peer reviews that are listed in that order. I'm making the recommendation to lift that stay of suspension based on the fact that I have an additional open complaint on my desk involving this respondent. And I've reached out to him several times to try to work with him on this compliance matter, and he's been fairly unresponsive.
Thank you for the background. Hearing that he does not wish to call in, is there a motion?
Madam Chair, this is Alejandro. So I think suspension is a pretty serious thing, and I'm not opposed to it, but is there a way where we can take action as a board and say, if you're not in compliance with all the terms of the agreement, you know, get us a list of peer reviews and participate in the training within 30 days, we're going to lift this stay of suspension, you know, as of, you know, April 23rd or whatever it is, just to try to get his attention one more time. And if he doesn't, then we automatically go into the
revocation
suspension. Is that possible?
That seems like a reasonable motion. Is that
well that, that yeah that that per se would not be possible because the only options today would be lifting the stay under the existing consent or not lifting the stay under the existing consent. The board could defer the matter to the next board meeting, and then the board will be faced with the question of whether to raise the stay or to leave the stay in place. But that is the only option available to the board under the consent, would be to either lift the stay or leave the stay in place. Otherwise, it would be a different disciplinary action for failure to comply with the existing consent agreement.
Also, this is Investigator Correll. If I could just add, I have been attempting to contact the respondent since about February 8th. Actually, January 29th is when we started these conversations. So he's had ample time to discuss peer reviews with me. He has not identified his peer reviewer, even so much as identified him, much less have I seen a peer review report. So I would really encourage the board to enforce the disciplinary actions that are already in place in this case.
And staff, can you please remind me, if we suspend his license, that is not a revocation. So there is an approach to get out of suspension?
Yes. So in the consent agreement, it does say that once he is in compliance, we can reinstate that.
That makes me feel a little more comfortable. Other board members, what are your ideas?
Well, I think he's had plenty of opportunity, this Gilmore, to respond, and he's apparently not taking this very seriously, so maybe we need to get his attention. And he does have a chance to get back in. He has to perform, though.
Yep. I think I wish we had an option to push the date off a few weeks, but given that we don't, I'm comfortable that he's had enough opportunities.
Dr. Angel, is that a motion?
That's a motion.
Second.
That we lift the stay of suspension on this enforcement case for lack of compliance.
Any further discussion?
Second the motion, Carmen.
Is he paid?
I think Mr. Jones beat you to it.
Oh, I didn't hear. I apologize.
No worries. Hearing no further discussion, can I have a roll call vote, please?
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Andrew Everard?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Go to 61.
I'm kind of glancing through the names that are on the line and those that pulled in. So I want to be respectful to anybody who's sat for a wonderful board meeting of executive session. Is there anybody on the line who has called in for a specific? You put in the chat if you've called in for a specific item so that perhaps we can move on to that item.
Yeah, I'm Bob Marmon. I called in for 63.
63. Okay. Can we try to get Kathy Mills again?
We can.
Thank you, Bob, for calling in.
You're welcome.
While we're calling her, if there's anybody else here for a specific item, please put it in the chat. That'll be a great way to make sure we get to you.
Hello, is Catherine Mills there? If so, star 6 to unmute yourself. Oh. Okay, that call dropped. I don't know if she picked up or not. I just, sometimes we need to make the phone call and they come unmuted, so. But I think she would have been able to hear us and any sounds on the other side.
So since Bob has called in, anybody opposed jumping to case 6C3 and hearing from him since we can't get a hold of the respondent?
Not at all. I agree.
Yep.
Bob, you have the floor. For everybody else, this is a case, grab it in my board packet on page 820. This is kind of a pattern of complaints for Ms. Mills coming before the board. For full disclosure, I do have a project with her at this time, but I feel like I can be impartial. And with that, I'd love for Bob to give us a little background, please.
Hello, everyone. I'm Bob Marmon, and thank you for this opportunity. I had the chance to review the three Mills cases. The first one, we weren't concerned. It was just a client that may have been upset. The second one, we became concerned because it happened so quickly, and it was the same pattern. It was a her proposal, implies that she's going to do this job quickly and have a fast start time, and both of the first two lasted a year and a half before they were completed. So we discussed it in the EAC, and I believe there was a letter of concern. The third one is the exact same pattern. A proposal that implies the work should be done fast. It was signed in April of 19, and looking at the City of Scottsdale records for approved site plans, this doesn't appear to be approved or resubmitted yet. So this is coming on 2 years. In the first two were technical work seemed adequate. In the third one, we requested some more information to assist with that judgment, and we haven't received it yet. So this to me demonstrates a couple things. First, it takes technical skill to do a project, but it also takes professional skill to manage and to meet client satisfaction, and projects have a beginning and an end. And I would have expected somebody, an average, other engineers, if they have a small, short duration project, to knock it out. And I know that's how I've handled them in the past as a civil engineer. So this is reflecting, it seems to imply, a lack of project management skills, which is important. It's important as a technical when you want to keep your clients happy and get the work done and on time. So my personal feeling is that we wanted to discuss this with the board, because it's not the board's job to encourage engineers to finish their work. And this has happened 1, 2, 3. So my personal recommendation would be that the board stipulate Ms. Mills gets some additional education in a course in engineering ethics and a course in project management, and get some assurance that her clients are not going to be coming to the board to get the work done. Thanks.
Thank you for addressing the board. Board members, any questions on this particular one? It's kind of a little odd because it's not a straight technical question, but three complaints in short order is...
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'd like to express my thoughts, if that's okay.
Please.
And I want to thank Mr. Mormon for reviewing, three cases and for being a conscientious EAC member. I I'm typically, my general thinking is that, you know, schedule issues are not really the purview of the board. But I think he said it really well in his report, in his review, that, you know, because of the frequency of the cases and how egregious they have been, it raises the issue from being a business practice that it's not a concern of the board to one of negligence. Because realistically, clients are not being able to get permits in a reasonable time frame, and that's impacting them financially. So when we talk about public health, safety, and welfare, that's part of it. So I could not agree more with them. My thoughts is we don't need to do a big monetary fine. I think, as he suggested, if it were me, I would suggest a consent agreement, to offer a consent agreement with a letter of reprimand, some remedial training on project management or ethics or both, and a nominal fine, maybe $150 in cost of investigation. More to make sure she understands that this is important and this is affecting people than to try to collect a bunch of money from her. So.
Excellent. So I believe I've motioned on, is that an official motion, Dr. Engel?
Well, I wanted to hear from others first because I don't want to jump in, you know, if I'm seeing it wrong, but if others agree, I can make a motion to that effect.
Other board members, what are your thoughts?
Did we have an investigator on this one?
Right here.
Did she indicate she had some delays or something about the project change that caused the big delay?
Mrs. Mills is very busy. She's actually an engineer in her field. People go to her. She's overbooked. She understands the stress of this. When I've talked to her one-on-one, I get it with her, but this isn't the only complaint that we've had. We've had complaints that haven't risen to an actual complaint with us. We get a lot of call-ins. So it just kind of comes to me, not being a technical issue, I'd like to bring it to the board for board guidance, knowing that this is more leaning into the gray area of business issues. So I just wanted you guys to review it and tell us where we can go as investigators moving forward, because there will be more.
Sean, and I think you made a great point. There's three complaints, but there have been several other calls about it. And it's also concerning that she's at a point where she's not responding to requests for additional information. That makes her job even more challenging. So even more reason why I think we should take some sort of action.
I'd just like to say, too, that I received yesterday a email from the actual e-ledger in this case, James Zane, who requested the case to be removed. She completed all the work, and the project is now moving along. So he's happy, and this is kind of like the norms. Once a complaint comes in with us, she gets right on it, she handles it, and then we have the e-ledger come in and try to remove the case. Unfortunately, we don't do that. We move forward with the case, and we present it to the board, but this seems the MO. I think she's just backlogged. I even discussed with her maybe getting some help, somebody to help her with the work, because her talent's there. But unfortunately, we're getting all these calls.
Well, the problem is, even when the alleges withdraw their, or want to withdraw their complaint, I mean, the board has already spent investigator time and staff time and board time trying to adjudicate issues because of her lack of responsiveness. So I don't think that just wipes it out. You know, it's still a challenge.
I'll agree. Alejandro, I agree with you on a letter of reprimand and remedial training and a lower fine.
This is Investigator Sean Becker, too. I'd like to just thank Mr. Marmon for stepping in on all of these three cases. He's been great. He's been a positive piece of this case where all these three cases going through, and it's a privilege to have him on our EAC.
Oh, thank you.
So the board members, I think I'm starting to hear a consensus, but is it an ethics course? Is it project management? Is it a business course? What are we thinking?
Well,
I originally thought it would be a project management course, but I could see it fit under ethics as well.
Well, would project management be under our purview? It almost sounds to me it's something that you should take off to the side and say, listen, you're really messing up here. You haven't done anything wrong technically, but you're not servicing your clients very well.
Yeah, you've got to learn to say no.
What's that?
You've got to learn to say no once in a while. Too busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, I want to make sure this is not just because there's been some delays. This is because she's actually costing her clients money by not delivering.
Right.
And okay. It's a repeated issue.
That's true. That's good.
So one question for the board is going to be able to frame exactly the statutory violation that this constitutes, such that, for example, does this rise to the level of gross negligence or incompetence or misconduct in the practice of the profession? Because there does have to be, for there to be a violation, there does have to be an actual statutory or rule violation that the board can frame.
Mr. Donald, that's what I was thinking, is that this would be gross negligence or incompetence, in the sense that, you know, to take 2 years to process a permit is not, you know, what's customary in the industry, not the standard of care, or anywhere close to it.
And that's fine, as long as you can enunciate that as gross negligence or incompetence, then absolutely.
Dr. Angel, if I'm hearing correctly, it's gross incompetence in the business aspect of our profession, not the technical aspect.
Correct. Yeah. It's incompetence more on the delivery side than on the technical side, but that's affecting the health, safety, and welfare of our clients.
Okay, and that does fall under the statutory, where the statute says in the practice of the profession, so the statute doesn't separate it out into area of the practice, it's in the practice of the profession, so this would then be considered to be incompetence in the practice of the profession, correct?
Correct. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's incompetence or gross negligence, but it's one, you know, it's either not paying attention or it's inability to do it. So.
Well, if it was $1 million project, it would be gross negligence.
Yeah.
Being a small project, it's
gross negligence.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. And really, our goal.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
It sounds like we're getting there. So I'll make a motion that the board offer a consent agreement based on the finding of gross negligence or incompetence in the practice of the profession because of the extensive timelines, the inability to respond to board requests, and the repeated complaints that we've received, and that the recommended resolution is a letter of reprimand, a $150 penalty, and then a remedial course in ethics and cost of investigation.
And I'll
second that.
Steve, we usually add a state suspension and probation, so I would also like to include that if she fails to comply with the terms of the agreement. And if not, sign in 30 days, go to hearing. The usual.
Second.
Thank you. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on this one? Hearing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Andrew Everode?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Is there anybody still on the line? We haven't gotten to your issue. Okay. I don't see any raised hands or chats.
Let's go to...
We have 15 more minutes. Can we turn into a pumpkin, everybody?
We we can
6C2. Right.
I was going to say, can we consent those first four?
They want to be called in. Well, we got Alejandro here, 6C1 and 6C2.
Okay.
So we have call-ins for both 6C1 and 6C2. So let's start with 6C1.
Okay.
So the, while Kurt is trying to get the call-ins available, as a synopsis, the board received a complaint alleging John Alfonso applied a fraudulent seal and signature bearing the name of a structural engineer on foundation plans for a metal building project in Prescott. And the board is looking for our guidance.
If this is Mr. Dawn, star 6 to unmute yourself. This is Kurt Winter at the board meeting.
Yeah. Hello, this is Julia Stone.
Hello, Mr. Dawn. We are currently in the board meeting. Are you able to speak at this time?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I think you were muted there for a second, but now I can hear you.
Okay, yes, this is Julius Dome.
Okay.
Excellent, thank you, Mr. Dome, for joining us. My name is Carmen, I'm board chair, and we are looking at the case in front of us, which is case number P21046. If you don't mind, I would love for you to kind of state where you're coming from and 5 minutes or less, if you don't mind, since we are running out of a quorum shortly.
Sure thing. So my name is Julia Stone. I am currently in New York, pursuing my higher education right now. Are you asking about background about the case, or are you asking about just kind of general background about myself?
We have the board packet. We'd like to hear in your words why you wanted to call into the board and what you wish for us to know.
Sure thing. So it is my understanding that I had received a complaint from the Arizona State Board in regard to alleged fraudulent seal for an individual named Craig Porter. I had used a third party called Upwork to do a lot of to outsource the work for my client named Sean Alfonso. I had mentioned that I had with a registered Texas professional engineer and was outsourcing the work with the Arizona PD holder. I had received a payment from John, approximately $750. And had paid out the services for stamped foundation drawings for approximately $250. I had been in contact with Aaron, who is the enforcement, I believe an assistant enforcement manager, in regarding to providing the information to the board of Arizona in regards to this case. However, I was trying to find the information that I had received from Upwork to provide to the board. It has come to my attention that I was not able to get access to Upwork, and I believe Aaron and I have both been trying to get hold with Upwork individuals to identify the individual that I had worked with to do the stamp foundation drawings. That is the background of the current case and kind of where I stand.
Thank you. Aaron, are you on the line? Can you kind of give us a little bit of an overview as well?
Sure. This is Investigator Carell. So I spoke with Mr. Alfonso. He was the original respondent in this case. And Mr. Alfonso was pretty adamant that he contracted with Mr. Doan through Upwork and that he had no knowledge of this fraudulent seal. I was able to authenticate the other seals that were included in the paperwork, so I have no reason to believe that Mr. Alfonso forged the Craig Porter seal, which is what led me to Mr. Doan. My contact with Mr. Doan has been very interesting. Mr. Doan asked right off the bat, you know, what's the violation? What's the fee for a violation like this? And I found it very curious that Mr. Doan refunded Mr. Alfonso's money almost with no questions asked. So I asked Mr. Doan several times over the phone and via email for any evidence of a third party participating in this project. He was able to provide me with a receipt from Upwork for $250. However, that receipt does not indicate what project this was for or who that payment was made to. So based on what I've been able to uncover, you know, in an administrative setting like this, it's a preponderance of the evidence. And that says to me that likely Mr. Doan forged this seal. I can't prove it one way or the other, so I just kind of need to know what does the board want me to do with this?
Where did Mr. Porter's seal come from? How did someone get their hands on that seal?
I have no idea where that seal came from. The Mr. Porter seal is a very poor forgery. It is very clearly a forgery. And I wasn't able to get a hold of anybody at Upwork either. I don't know if you guys know anything about Upwork or if anybody has experience with it, but you do need to have an account to even get through to customer service. So
even this board?
Yeah, I wasn't able to get through to anybody on Upwork. And I mean, I could create an account, but I'm not, of course, I'm not going to do that. Mr. Doan is, for some reason, not able to retrieve those messages. He's contacted, he says he's contacted Upwork support. He does have an account, so it makes sense to me that he should be able to retrieve those messages if there was no malicious activity here. The refund, the restriction of his account, these lead me to believe that he was likely involved in this forgery.
What about contacting Porter?
So Mr. Parlin contacted Mr. Porter when the initial complaint came in and he confirmed that he had no involvement in this project.
Mr. or Ms. Carell, I wanted to ask the respondent about, I went to the Upwork website and there's specifically a spot to recover your password and all you need is your email.
Yes.
And we know exactly what your email is because it's the emails from Upwork to you. So how come, Mr. Doan, you can't recover your password and provide the information we're requesting?
Sure thing. Just to clarify, so I had sent Upwork multiple emails trying to recover my password, and whenever I put either try to recover my password or try to log in, it says that the Google account is not recognized within Upwork, and make sure that the account is linked or something. I'm not sure what that means, but I'm assuming that something's wrong with my account.
There's a place where you enter your password. And if you forgot, or your email, and if you forgot your password or don't know what's going on, all you enter is your email and say, send me a link to reset, and your email should get an email where you just click on it to reset your password. It's not a manual process. It's an automated process. I tried it yesterday.
Correct. So when I tried doing that, it gave me that error message that I had attached to Aaron in regards to requesting for a new password. And it says that, you know, even if I try to log in or request a new account or anything like that, that email is already in use. I tried recovering. So the thing is that my account with Upwork didn't have a password on it. It was linked via Google. So there was never a password associated with it. So it was like you log in with your Google account or the Google, I'm not sure what they call it, but there's options to log in with your Google email. And from there, you never actually use a password. Okay.
I think my concern is that it's your responsibility to demonstrate to us that it wasn't you forged the seal, but at this point, we know you ended up producing the plans with a forged seal, so it's in your best interest to figure out how to log in.
Right. And I have been trying to log in for a number of months, trying to get a hold of Upwork support. However, it's either been going into like a voicemail or it just cuts off. And that's pretty much it. And I've been trying to reach out for a couple months for this.
So this is Investigator Carell. This is the exact issue that leads me to believe that his Upwork account is no longer active, and he's, been banned from that site. He should be able to retrieve his messages. He should be able to provide me that documentation. And really, the buck stops here. There's nothing else for me to investigate here.
I guess, Investigator Carell, one more item, if it's possible, is can we subpoena Upwork for any documents or emails relating to Mr. Stone?
We can try, but I don't know who I would subpoena or where I would send that to.
Yeah, there's a couple of emails, or there's an email and a phone number on their website. It's more for like partners, but I think what we need is to get a hold of them.
And I would just also point out that Upwork, of course, does not have to respond to that subpoena, as they're not a registrant of this board. They're not obligated to provide us with any information. I did do some pretty good research on Upwork, and it's difficult to get through without an actual account, without being an actual working professional on the site.
I understand. I guess my point is we're making a fairly serious decision here, so I'd like to give Mr. Doan every opportunity for him to recover his password or for us to obtain the information. And if we can't, then we'll have to go with the preponderance of evidence, as you said. But I wouldn't want to jump the gun, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So am I hearing a direction to staff to try to subpoena Upworks for information regarding this case and to bring it back before the board next month?
I think that's the best we can do, and if we can't, and Mr. Doan can't get his info, then I think he understands that, we have to make our conclusions based on what we have.
Can I interject or ask?
Yes, Mr. Doan.
So in regards to, I think Aaron had mentioned that it was suspicious or that I had paid John back. The reason why he had called me and mentioned that the state had rejected the drawings and that he would like his money back. As an individual, I didn't know what was going on at the time. He just told me that it was rejected. And so in that sense, I decided that, just to pay back the client for working with me. And then from there, later on, I had received an email from I believe it was Aaron in regards to this case. And so I didn't know that, this was going on or anything like that. I just refunded the money because he had mentioned that the state had rejected the drawings. In regards to comment in regards to Aaron saying that I was asking about the price of this case, I've never done this before. I just started the practice 3 years ago with my own firm, so I wasn't aware of kind of what the implications are. I've never had any issues with the board, and so I was asking Aaron a bunch of questions regarding costs, the repercussions, because as a young engineer, I'm kind of very curious on these things. You know, I've never, as I mentioned before, I've never had any issues with the Texas board, and I know that this is a serious issue here in regards to the case.
I appreciate you taking the board seriously and understanding the, what it means when a seal is misappropriated.
Alejandro, this is Neil. What about this young man paying somebody for their seal and he didn't supervise the work?
That's a no-no. Right, but usually we would go after the registrant who helped him. For aiding and abetting, but otherwise it's just practicing without a license. It's still an issue.
Okay.
I think Mr. Don't prepare plans without being a registrant.
How does that work? Can you please clarify that, Mr. Don?
Sure thing. As a registered professional engineer in Texas. I used Upwork during the COVID. We had a lot of issues in getting businesses in Texas. So I signed up for Upwork, being that it was a freelance website. I decided to look for opportunities outside of the state, knowing that I would have to hire another individual for their stamp. I made sure that I followed the code requirements that Arizona has, that ensured that whoever I contacted with, that they would have to review as well as stamped drawings. And so that is kind of how it worked. I acted as a consultant to the work and outsourced the work, the drawings after I had done the initial CAD drafting. So my role within was doing the CAD drafting as well as providing notes and then passing it on to, an engineer, a respected engineer, that would sign it and review it. And that's the reason why I pay the $250 for the stamped drawing.
Mr. Doan, but I'm surprised because I think the Texas statutes are similar to Arizona's, and the idea is that the work has to be led by a registrant or an employee of the registrant, not the other way around, because when you're in the more powerful contractual situation over the registrant, they don't have actual control of the project. So that's a problem, and that's not allowed under Arizona statutes.
It certainly sounds like Upwork. I would like to know a little more about Upwork myself, because it does sound like they might be offering services that are not in keeping with our statutes.
And I actually only used Upwork probably 2 months prior to this. So I'm actually fairly new with Upwork as well. All I saw was, a number of engineers, on there, that's able to, outsource work or, provide their services. So I thought that it would be, adequate to act as a consultant, and provide it to, engineers to, do the, review and stamp.
So I know we're about to lose Dr. Angel. I think I would be open to directing staff to not only subpoena Upwork for that documentation, but also to look into how they're practicing, because Mr. Doan, Arizona statute requires the work of the engineer to be produced directly under the engineer's supervision and guidance, and it doesn't sound like that's the model that Upwork has for their business.
Madam Chair, but what I don't know is I think it's not so much the platform as much as how it's used. It's like Craigslist or Angie's List or any of those where it's, it could be that it's an engineer soliciting drafting services as opposed to the drafter soliciting an engineer to stamp their plans.
I mean, when I saw on the website, I see there's, you know, photography and all kinds of different freelance jobs. It's not focused on engineering.
It's very much a connection site. It's very much a connection site. Just like you said, Dr. Okay. Angel, like Craigslist, like Angie's List, you can go on there and you can find these professionals to do your work for you. Now, how those professionals are vetted or how they get into Upwork, I don't know how that process works, if anybody can just go in there and create an account. I can certainly explore that, you know, how they're putting these professionals, how are they verifying these credentials? I don't know those answers. But the overall platform, Dr. Angel's right, it's a connection. It just connects contractors, freelancers, professionals, so that they can get these various projects completed.
So, Aaron, if on the other end of Mr. Doan's transaction there was an engineer who was not reviewing Mr. Doan's work, that would be something under our purview. But right now, we've basically got a Yellow Pages and Mr. Doan's lack of documentation that he used the company.
That's exactly right.
So I think we try the subpoena and we revisit this next month.
Okay, got it.
Interesting little case.
Yeah. I think Neil makes a great case that we already know there's an issue with practicing without a license for, you know, preparing plans without the oversight of an engineer. The question is, the fraudulent use of the seal, was it, you know, Mr. Doan, or was it, you know, a third party who had a seal online and just provided it, you know, and Mr. Doan was innocent to that. So that we don't know, but I think we still have issues with non-registering preparing plans.
Yeah, and just to give a little bit insight, I think Aaron was asking about kind of what the procedures are for Upwork. So when I registered with Upwork, they only look at, you know, your driver's, you take a picture of your driver's license, as well as they just have a phone call with the individual saying what you plan on using Upwork for, whether it be for looking for services or providing services. And that's ultimately it. So just a little bit of insight, since you were curious in asking about how do you get access to the Upwork.
Okay. So, Mr. Doan, our board's concern about your actions is that although you are a PE in Texas, you are not a PE here, and so
Correct. You
did not have direct PE supervision when you were drawing these up, whether aside from the fraudulent use of the seal. So I don't know without that particularly being the case, I don't know if other members of the board, you know, if we want to move this to next month or consider a letter of reprimand. I believe Mr. Doan, appearing before us, now understands a little more of our statutes. Or can we do a letter of reprimand when someone's not registered with us?
I think we would have to impose a penalty or a fine. The question would be, is do we also have a fraud issue or not?
We can't answer the fraud issue, I believe, today.
Right.
So if I want to double check, just to clarify, so you are adding another, issue or fine or case in regards to this one, reviewing or being a lead on a project when you are contracting out to another individual for review.
Yeah, in conjunction with the case before us, Mr. Doan, I believe what the board's concern is that in Arizona, you can't draft something and then hand it to someone to review and stamp. It needs to be in conjunction with that PE. And so, speaking to you, that's our concern at the moment.
And
And Madam Chair, if I may, in a situation with a non-registrant, the board would not be able to do a letter of reprimand. The only option for a non-registrant would be an administrative penalty of up to $2,000 per violation, and potentially an injunction.
Given that, Scott, perhaps I would suggest that we see if we can find any more documentation from Upworks about the fraudulent use of the seal, which I believe is very concerning to the board, and then decide next month if the other practice warrants any penalty. Board members, are you comfortable with that?
I agree. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Mr. Dillon, we will address this again next month, and I encourage you to do anything you can to get some more documentation from Upworks.
So, just to clarify, there is going to be a penalty of $2,000, as well as there is going to be a review next month on this case still. Is that
We have not decided on any penalty. We are hoping that you can get documentation from Upworks that would perhaps lessen the severity of the issue we're looking at. So please, anything you can do, we will try on our side with the subpoena as well.
Thank you. Just to clarify, I'm not sure I understood kind of the other, what you mean by judgment. I believe that's what you mentioned. I think about reprimand in addition to other. I didn't understand what that meant. Could you explain what that terminology means?
Madam Chair, if I may.
Reprimand.
Certainly.
The options available to the board in this situation of a non-registrant would be a penalty of up to $2,000 per violation or an injunction in the Superior Court, which would be seeking an order from a Superior Court judge to prevent a non-registrant from holding out or continuing to violate our statutes in any way in the event they violated a court order received as a result of injunctive relief, then that would be punishable as contempt of court.
The idea is we wouldn't have to get there, Mr. Dunn. I think also, given that you're registered in Texas, I would encourage you, if you are going to do any work in Arizona, to get registered. It's easy.
Okay.
This board makes it very easy.
If I'm not using Upwork anymore, I don't see how I can get access to Arizona, but definitely I can look into registering into Arizona as well for future projects.
Excellent. So I know Dr. Angel is about to go. Board members, we're going to direct staff on this issue, and then is there anything else pressing before we adjourn in lose form?
Madam Chair, if I may request, could I request the board actually take a vote with regards to issuing a subpoena?
Yes, absolutely. I'll entertain a motion.
I would move that we issue a subpoena to Upwork for correspondence or documents related to Mr. Doan's work through the website.
Second. Excellent. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Perfect. Roll call vote, please.
Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Aye.
Jack Gilmore.
Aye.
Neil Jones.
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff.
Aye.
Stephen Knoll.
He's muted.
Yeah. Aye. Sorry, aye.
Andrew Everode.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you, everybody. I know this has been a marathon, and I thank the members of the public. We will push the rest of the remaining issues to next month and adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
everybody.
Thank you.
everybody. Sorry. Bye.